Soul. Time is filled with swift transition. Not of earth unmoved can stand. Build your hopes on things eternal and hold to God's unchanging hand. Just hold to God's unchanging hand. Hold to God's unchanging hand and build your hopes on things eternal and hold to God's unchanging hand. Trust in Him who will not leave you. Whatsoever years may bring, if my earthly friends forsaken, oh, still more closely to Him cling. God's unchanging hand. Just hold to God's unchanging hand. Build your hopes on things eternal and hold to God's unchanging hand. And covet not this world's vain riches that so rapidly decay, but seek to gain the heavenly treasure, oh, for they will never pass away. Just hold to God's unchanging hand. Just hold to God's unchanging hand and build your hopes on things eternal and hold to God's unchanging hand. When your journey is completed, and if to God you have been true, fair and bright your home in glory, your enraptured soul will view. But you must hold to God's unchanging hand. Just hold to God's unchanging hand and build on things eternal and hold to God's unchanging hand.
We're not in a hurry. Hallelujah. Roshida Bobby. Anoshabilia. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise that name of the Lord. Praise that name of the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, give me some ladies who sing in the Holy Ghost. I've been praying for some ladies around here who sing in the Holy Ghost. I've always thought that was a beautiful place for a ladies' ministry. Those men can do the same, of course. But I love it when you have an old saint of God full of the Holy Ghost. I want to tell you something, church. Most of the Pentecostal world is just Pentecostal in name. Very little of it is Pentecostal in substance. You can walk in the Holy Ghost. You can be right in the middle of the greatest crisis in your life, and the Holy Ghost can just settle down upon you, and you begin to pray in the Spirit, and heaven just covers your soul. Hallelujah. They were talking yesterday, somebody I was with, about men who have steel in their bones. Let me tell you, when you got the Holy Ghost living and dwelling and operating your life, you got steel in the bones. It isn't you, it's Him. The Holy Ghost is like steel in your very being. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, I'm really expecting revival. Brother Switzer is supposed to preach for us next Sunday night, but we kind of put it on hold. I wanted to make sure Sister Chambers could be here. And so we'll be announcing that Wednesday night. But I want you, well, what we're doing, we're getting ready for revival. Brother Switz has already promised when he comes here and preaches, if revival breaks out, he'll be here as long as that revival is going on. And I'm praying for a 4-week revival that turns into a 10-week revival or whatever. I just want to see people saved. We're touching lives. We're ministering to people. I got a note this week from Pakistan, and they said the whole Christian community of Pakistan is praying for Sister Chambers. That's overwhelming, isn't it? Got a letter from Jerusalem, a group in Jerusalem praying for Sister Chambers. I've got all kinds of notes like those. Some precious men. Precious men. Hallelujah. A great evangelist that has never preached a revival here, but we've been talking about it, and he started calling me several days ago, and day after day, Brother Chambers, I'm on my face. Curtis Tigg. How many know Brother Curtis Tigg? Could I see your hand? Praying for you, Brother Chambers. Praying for Sister Chambers. Hold it on. Hallelujah. I believe God's getting them ready to preach revival for us. I really do. All right, turn with me in your Bible to the book of St. Luke. I'm going to preach this morning on a subject that's really an overwhelming one. I love to preach on words, Bible words. And so I shall do my best. If there's a whistle in my talking, somewhere between this morning and this morning, that means somewhere between me leaving the rehabilitation center and getting ready to come to church, a tooth fell out of my set right here on the front. Now, don't you look for it when you speak to me. I'm telling you about it, so now you forget it, but it may cause a whistle. You know what I mean? It's done that before. So nothing I could do about it. I couldn't find it. If I'd have found it, wouldn't have done a bit of good. So I'm just going to obey. When anything goes wrong, several things go wrong with it. How many have ever found that out? If anything goes wrong, just get ready. Another one here and another one there. I could tell him. I'm not going to even tell him. Hallelujah. Let's go to Luke 24, verse 47. A wonderful subject. So listen carefully, please. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in His name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. I want to read verse 46. That may help. And said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooves Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. And then, the first text I read a while ago, and that repentance and remission of sins might be preached among all nations. You as a church is preaching repentance of sin among all nations with your radio and the ministry that goes from your church. You are preaching. You are doing what God commissioned us to do. I could not stand the thoughts of not preaching this gospel to all the world. I believe it's the responsibility of every church. What if every church felt that responsibility? Wouldn't that be marvelous? Shall we pray and ask God to touch this message this morning on repentance. Repentance, the foundation of greatness. Repentance, the foundation of greatness. Are you considering greatness? Are you considering the possibility of being used of God in some extraordinary manner? Are you considering your life being a witness on your job, among your neighbors? Wherever you go, you want to be a soul winner? Well, let me tell you that greatness in the Christian walk begins with an old-fashioned truth of repentance. I shall preach this morning on five groups of people that need to learn repentance afresh. Father, anoint your word this morning by the Holy Ghost. Grant that somehow by your power, your servant will speak only those things that bring honor to your name. That you would be glorified, Lord. That you would be exalted, Lord. That somehow your hand would be mighty upon us. In Jesus' name I pray. And amen. And you may be seated. A great faith always begins with a great repentance. A great faith always begins with a great repentance. Because repentance is the foundation of everything that manifests God's glory and God's power and God's greatness. No man of God who hasn't learned repentance on a daily basis would ever be a great man of God. I said no man of God, God called man, will ever be great if they have not learned the greatness of living a life of repentance. I want to try to tell you what I believe repentance is. Repentance is when you get sick of the self life. Repentance is when you get sick of the self life. Are you hearing me? I really want you to get that. Repentance is when you get sick of the self life. When you get sick of the life you are able to conjure. You are able to figure out. You are able to plan. You are able to scheme. Well, repentance is when you get sick of all of that. When you get sick of all of that. And when you turn utterly and totally from self to the sufficient one. Turning utterly from self to the sufficient one. Turning utterly from self-life to the life of Christ and the life of His glory. Repentance is when you develop a hunger for the things that come from God. Repentance is when you develop a hunger for the things that come from God. It is when you are more hungry for God than for things, than for wealth, than from properties, from time to do your own pleasures. When you become so hungry for things of God, things of Christ, that you turn from everything that is not of Christ. And you turn to Him utterly. That's repentance. Repentance is not just some little cheap word. Repentance is not just some little cheap, I'm sorry. Repentance is not just something that you're sorry you got caught. You're sorry you got in such a predicament. You're sorry because things didn't go like you planned. No, repentance is when you're sick of the self life and hungry for the Christ life. That's repentance. That's only where real repentance begins. Otherwise, it's just people looking for fire insurance. People looking to get out of the mess they're in. People looking to change the things that they've not been able to see anything but a mess out of. No, repentance is when you're sick of self and hunger for Christ. Are you getting the message this morning? Oh, that's so extremely important. Now, I love to preach about words. Because words are so powerful. Earlier this week began to search out words in the Bible about repentance and repenting. And every scripture I found was just like a message from heaven. It was wonderful. It was rich. It was special. Hallelujah. Oh, I've enjoyed it. I've enjoyed it for myself. Because I want you to know this morning, I stand here before you as a repentant man. Though I've been a Christian 65 years, repentance is more important to me now than it's ever been in my life. Repentance is more real to me. You see, there's no place in your life that self doesn't continue to raise its head. There's no place in your life that little things that have no meaning for God, they're only self things. They raise their head. They seek to dominate. They seek to rule. They seek to be the master of your time, the master of your plans, the master of everything you want to be. And all the time of your life, you're going to have this coming at you. But if you learn repentance, if you learn turning from all of that, it's a lifestyle, not words. It's a lifestyle. Repentance is a lifestyle, not words. Are you getting the meaning? Repentance is a lifestyle. It's what gets a hold of your heart. Now, there are five different categories of people that need to learn repentance. Every one of these categories is represented by somebody in this building. And nobody can escape one of these categories if you're here in church this morning. Every one of you, I will be addressing the need of your life if God, by His Holy Ghost, will help me. And don't you for one moment think that Joe Chambers is excluded. I'm right in the middle of it with you. I really am. Now first, the greatest need of repentance you can imagine is for the unsaved out there. The unsaved. Those who do not know Jesus. Those who have never been born again. Those who are still living the life of the flesh and of the world. The only answer for their salvation is repentance. Oh, somebody says, oh, I believe on Him. I believe in Him. I haven't changed, but I'm ready to go because I believe in Him. Oh, no. Oh, no. Until you repent of sin, you will perish. Until you repent of the self-life, you will perish. Until you repent of the worldly life, you will perish. Until you turn from this world and all it represents, and your life and all you represent, and turn only to Jesus Christ, the Savior, there is no eternal salvation. You've got to repent. The sinner has got to repent. Now let's talk about this. Do you know that we live in the day when repentance for the sinner is almost an unheard of thing? We live in a day when sinners don't want you to talk about their sins. They are angry with you when you tell them where they are. Had a man call the radio program yesterday, and he disagreed with me. He was the last call. If you heard it, you'll remember. And if you haven't, you ought to go hear him. And he was trying to compliment me in a backhanded way, but he was on the other side of the fence. On the other side. And I talked to people this week at the hospital, and they don't want you to tell them they're wrong. They don't want to tell you they're sinners. They don't want you to tell them that they're not right with God. They are determined to make themselves comfortable in their lifestyle, and the world is aiding this and promoting this and trying to teach everybody, be yourself. Do like you want to do. Do like you please to do. Your life is your own. Your life is not your own. The Creator created you for His honor and His glory. And every sinner has got to repent and turn to Christ. And if you have not repented, you have not turned to Christ. I don't care how much you believe He's wonderful. You can brag on Him. You can talk about His greatness. You can tell others how good He is. But if you're not repented, you're lost. So the sinner has to repent. If you're living in sin and you don't repent, you will be lost. You will be eternally lost. Hey, telling this to people is not easy. Sinners do not like to be told they're sinners. The wicked will get angry with you. The wicked will get angry with you. They know they can go to churches that don't preach that kind of stuff. I was with some old-fashioned friend of mine. I'm sorry, old-time friends of mine. Other day, they're not old-fashioned anymore. But I was with them some time ago, and they was talking about their preacher. Well, I know him. I've been a friend to him. We've been very, very much friends in the past. But I know all about him. They're talking about all these wonderful things he preached. All these great things he preaches. I said, have you ever considered the things he don't preach? And it startled them. It startled them. You can know a preacher not by what he preaches, but what he don't preach. Somebody help me, will you? What he don't preach. I'm telling you, the sinner doesn't want to be told about their sins. Go with me. Let's make sure we understand this. I'll give you a scripture in each of these cases because you must get this in your mind. You must come to understand this. Go to Revelation chapter 9 and verse 20. And listen. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not work, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornications, nor of their sins. Now, that is a picture of the end time. That is a picture of the hour right in front of us. That is a picture of the attitude that's gripped the world in preparation for the great tribulation period. It is an attitude that I will not repent. I will not be sorry for what I've done. I will not be sorry for my lifestyle. I will go on as I please to go. It's none of your business, preacher. Leave me alone. There are people today who, when a preacher hurts their feelings about preaching against sin, have been known to sue the preacher for his devastation of their peace of mind. They're calling preaching against sin one a lot of different things, and none of them really good today. But I'm going to tell you, men and women of God and the Church of Jesus Christ has got to preach repentance. We've got to tell the sinner, you got to repent. You got to turn to Christ. You got to turn to God. And everywhere I go, I'm going to preach it. I'm going to preach it. I'm telling you, I'm going to preach it. So, the sinner has got to be told he must repent. But then, the backslider must be told that he's got to repent. Now listen to me. Come on now. I want you to hear me. The backslider. There is a great company of backsliders in our world today. The world is full of men and women who used to walk with God. I've been in revivals years ago when 30 and 40 people would get saved. I know revivals that I was in where 30 and 40 people got saved, and not a one of them is living for Jesus today. I heard Brother Mike Switzer say, I was raised in a big church full of young people. We had a crowd of them. And he said, not a one of them is living for Jesus today. They all have gone the way of the world. They've gone the way of their own desires. And their own backsliding is a spirit of this age. Backsliding is a spirit of this hour. Backsliding is a mighty power that's gripping the world today. But the Bible makes it plain. The backslider has got to repent or be lost. I always loved the story in the book of Luke. There is no more beautiful story in the Bible than the story of the prodigal son. The 15th chapter of Luke. I preached on it some weeks ago. I love this sermon. I love the message in this sermon. You remember I told you that when the prodigal son came to the father cleaned him up. The father dressed him up, and the father filled him up. I won't ever forget those three thoughts. The Holy Ghost gave them to me over here, going the way we had to go while Tuckasegee was closed. I was coming around the corner, and the Holy Ghost spoke that to me, and it thrilled my soul. The father cleaned his son up. He dressed his son up, and then he filled him up. That's what he does for backsliders. But first, the backslider has got to come home. Now read this story when you get home. Chapter 15 of Luke, the backslider, the prodigal son. He was off in a strange country. He was off in a strange country. Every backslider is in a strange country in his mind. Every backslider is away from truth and family and friends. The love of Father, the love of the Holy Christ, the love of the sweet Comforter. Oh, yes. But this backslider was probably sitting on the pig fence. The Bible said he did eat the husk the pigs did eat. Now, husk, in that case, was probably talking about the shucks around corn. Husk. Maybe different things from different things raised on a farm, but this is the crud of it, the leftover of it, the throwaway part of a farm life. That's what you feed to the pigs. Well, he was eating the husk the swine did eat, and he was a miserable kid. He was absolutely hungry. He was absolutely ragged. Everything that could be bad was bad. But sitting there on the pig fence, he said, "In my father's house is bread enough and to spare, and behold, I perish with hunger." Then he said, "I will arise." Say that word with me. I will arise. I will arise. Every backslider has got to come to the place where he looks out there in front of him. Why am I living like this when I remember how I could live long time ago? I thank God I've never backslid. It's not Joe Chambers to give you as the reason I've never backslid. I can tell you one thing that I think has kept me from backsliding is I got the baptism of the Holy Ghost when I was 18 years old. I remember going down in that old Brush Harbor meeting and kneeling down in the sawdust. I remember saying to God when I got on my knees, "Father, I've been hungering for this baptism. I don't understand it. I don't even know how to read the Bible. I'm just beginning to learn how to read. But I see the people who are full of this Holy Ghost, and I see the gleam on their face. I hear the thrill in their voice. I see the joy in their attitude and their worship." And back then, everybody who went to a holiness church was just about on fire. I can remember my home church, and there weren't two people in that church that act like most of you. You will sit when the Holy Ghost is so near and just say, "Hallelujah." Let me see somebody who always just says, "Hallelujah." Let me see those who've got a real hallelujah. Raise your right hand up. Let's see who's got a real hallelujah. Well, say it. Say a real hallelujah. Come on, say a real hallelujah. I start doing that in the middle of every service. Hallelujah. We're here to have church. Hallelujah. Well, I remember those days. And I'm telling you, I thank God that God filled me with the Holy Ghost that night. Hallelujah. I was speaking in tongues was something so marvelous and awesome to me. I'd never had such an experience. But oh, when he began to talk, I began to shout. Hallelujah. I don't remember how old I acted and how wild I acted. Can you imagine? It'd be a joy to see a picture of me back then. I'd like that, Sister Smith. I'd like to see my picture getting saved. A little kid didn't know nothing, but I was thrilled to death. Hallelujah. I remember I was a holy roller. I'd get in the altar and start praying. I'd wind up back on my back. I'd roll and toss and praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'd go to the choir and sing, and they'd beg me to stay out of the choir, and I wouldn't pay them any attention because I had so much joy. Hallelujah. Woo, hallelujah. So backsliders have to repent. Thank God I never did, because the Holy Ghost has kept me. The Holy Ghost has kept me. You get full of the Holy Ghost, it'll keep you. You get full of the Holy Ghost, you can't get away with nothing. You get full of the Holy Ghost, some of you would stop some of the way you waste your time. You get full of the Holy Ghost, you'll spend more time in praying than you will on anything else this world's got. When you get full of the Holy Ghost, it'll set you on fire. Hallelujah. I've been walking up and down the corridors of the hospital, speaking in a heavenly language with God's Holy Ghost upon me. Hallelujah. That's how I'm going to live my life. Glory. Backsliders have got to repent. The prodigal son is a message. He said, why am I here? I will arise and go home. I will say to my father, "Father, I'm not worthy." Have you ever seen a backslider who thought God ought to be proud that he was coming home? No, no, no. God is proud. But I want you to know you must come with repentance. You must come with a heart of surrender, a heart of devotion. So a backslider must repent. Backsliders must repent. I wish every backslider hearing me on the internet or on Facebook or on a tape somewhere, I wish every one of you would realize it's time to repent. It's time to say, I'm sorry. It's time to admit you made a mess. You made a mistake. And you're turning around. And you're coming home. Well, there's another group. The lukewarm. Go to Revelation. Go to Revelation 2. The lukewarm. Those who've left their first love. Same thing. Lukewarm is in chapter 3. But those who've left their first love, chapter 2. So let's read the verses of chapter 2. It is absolutely important. Absolutely. Absolutely. Nevertheless. Verse 4. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. What's the next verse? Repent, therefore, from whence thou art fallen. And repent and do thy first. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen. And repent and do thy first works over. How many people who come back to God that sometimes do not remember what really, really they need to do? A lot of times people who've lost their first love, they want to admit it to God in private. They don't want the church world to know it. I'm going to tell you, if you don't love God as much as you've ever loved Him, in fact, if you don't love Him more than you've ever loved Him before, if you're barely holding on to your love for Him, if you're just kind of, you know, dealing with a little love and trying to return, but you haven't gone all the way and you haven't really become full of God's Holy Ghost, what you need to do is repent and do your first works over. Amen. Anybody listening to me? What are your first works? Well, it's turn holy to God. Repent of your sins. It's confess Him as your Lord and Savior. It's become part of the church. It's being baptized in water. I mean, on and on. All those things you must do if you backslide and lose your first love or become lukewarm and indifferent to the things of God. You've got to repent. You have got to repent. Somebody in this building this morning, you need to repent and turn holy to God. You don't have that first love you used to have. I won't ask you how many of you used to love Him more than you love Him now. I know you'd probably be hesitant to raise your hand, because, and I'm not here to embarrass you, but I'm here to tell you, if you have in any way left your first love, or if you are in any way further from God than you've been in the past, if you're in any way less committed to the work of the church than you used to be, if you've cooled off and got indifferent, if you now don't care about going to church regular, you just go when it's convenient to go, if you can use all kinds of excuses, I had a cough this morning, I sneezed 3 times, or whatever excuse you want to use, I'm here to tell you, I don't believe in those kind of things. I believe when you're His, you're all the way His, and nothing's going to stop you, and nothing's going to slow you up, and nothing's going to turn you around. You just give Him all you got. You love Him with all you are. You praise Him with every. How many in this building would raise a right hand and say, I'm going to be totally His, and I've got to have His love flooding me and filling me from here to toe? Wave it real high. Come on. Listen to me. The backslider has got to repent. The person who leaves their first love has got to repent. If you have left your first love, don't just think I can come back. Let me tell you, if you used to pay your tithes and you quit and you come back to paying your tithes, you got to do your first works over. You need to make up that money you stole from God. That money you use for your own selfish self. You can't lose your first love and get by. You can't lose your first love and not return in a heart of utter surrender and utter devotion. That's where repentance is absolutely imperative. We must preach to the people in our churches that do not have any enthusiasm any longer. You've got to repent. You've got to repent. And don't think you're going to go in that rapture without repentance. You're not. Anybody say amen? Come on, anybody say amen? Hallelujah. So repent of losing your first love. Repent of losing your first love. Well, you didn't lose it, you left it. Repent of leaving your first love. Repent now. Now I'm going to come where the rubber meets the road. Every preacher in this building, every elder in this building, every saint of God in this building, I want to preach to you this morning that you've got to ever live a life of repentance. You say, Brother Chambers, I haven't committed a sin in weeks. That may be possible. That is possible. That may even be true. But your heart is a heart of Adam. Your heart is a heart of uncleanness. And I've learned a long time ago that I've got to repent on a regular basis and tell God, I have nothing to offer you of righteousness. I don't have anything to offer you of pride. I don't have anything to offer you that makes me better than anybody else in town. Everything I have is of you. And therefore, I repent of all those things that are of me. When I'm striving to live holy and I'm striving to live good, and not trusted in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, I must repent. Because the only righteousness that will bring you into the fellowship of God is His righteousness. Somebody say, His righteousness is my desire. Come on, raise your hand high. His righteousness is my longing. I'm longing to be righteous in Him. I'm longing to be full of His righteousness. That His righteousness will control my whole life and my whole being. Go with me, if you please, to the book of Matthew 16. Excuse my eyes there. The book of Matthew 16. I want to talk to you about this life that we are here to live. This life that God has given us. Go to verse 24, if you might. Matthew 16. Then said Jesus unto His disciples. Now, who's He talking to? He's talking to you preachers and you elders and you saintly ladies. Is that who He's talking to? Amen. Look at it. Then said Jesus unto His disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. See, most of the church is living for making money, for buying cars, for building a bigger house, for playing another game on internet, for having another hour or two on the Facebook. And you can name a thousand things that the church world is full of today. Do you know many saints that are on fire with the Holy Ghost? Do you know many saints that are winning souls right and left? How many of you know saints that are winning souls right and left? How many of you know many saints that are praying for the sick and they're being miraculously healed? How many of you know all the good things that are possible when a saint of God is so full of the Holy Ghost that he rules their life? That's what he's talking about. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. That's got to be one of the greatest verses in the Bible. Whosoever will lose his life. Joe Chambers, who do you live for? Joe Chambers, what do you spend your time excited about? Joe Chambers, what do you do with the spare hours of your life? Joe Chambers, what is your greatest pleasure? Joe Chambers, what are the things you love the most? Is it Jesus? Is it the cross? Is it the Christian walk? Is it the godly life? Is it being somewhere on my knees weeping for sinners and crying out to the unsaved? Is it building a fire in these altars? What am I doing with my life? He said, whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life shall save it or shall find it. For what is a man profit if he shall gain the whole world and lose his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? Now, what do you do? I guarantee you, everybody in this building can feel some place of need at the scripture. There are things that are just consuming you. You're gaining your life. You've got things that are your pleasure. You got things that you, if you get a chance for a day, an hour or two, or a little time, you know so many things that you can enjoy. You know so many little things that you can go do that are pleasurable. You go with a friend and just hang out and all those kind of things. I'm preaching to you this morning. If you gain your own life, you shall lose it. But if you lose your life for him, then you shall gain it. And that's the kind of repentance I'm talking about this morning. Is we the saints of God. Let us repent of our selfish living. Will you raise your hand and ask the Holy Ghost to help us now? Holy Ghost, I need your help. These are precious saints, God. I'm not here to belittle them. I'm not here to put nobody down. I'm here to call us to a life of such abandonment that we become soul winners, that we become a mighty power in the church. I would be dashed to go to this pulpit on Sunday if I hadn't spent hours and hours before God in prayer, reading, searching the scripture, spending my time hungry and thirsty after God. You ought to be embarrassed when Brother Chambers asks you to preach or teach if you haven't spent hours and hours searching and seeking and loving and losing your life in him. Now let me see your hand if you would like to lose your life in Christ. Come on, raise it way up high. Lord, let me lose my life in Christ. Let me become so tangled up and tied up and all excited in the walk of Christ and the walk of God. I'm telling you, the church needs repentance. If this church will have Holy Ghost repentance, God's going to turn this place upside down. We're not far away. We're close. Holy Ghost revival is near, very near. God knows this preacher's heart. I'm not going to stop until it comes. But it's waiting on all of us. Are you willing to lose your life? Are you willing to give up some of these things that you just enjoy doing? Self-life. Say those words with me, self-life. Say it out loud, everybody. Self-life. We're not talking about sin. See, the problem in holiness churches is not so much sin as itself. The Bible calls it carnal living. Carnal is not sinful. When he says carnal, he's not talking about sin. He's talking about things that only satisfy your appetites. I'm hungry for righteousness, aren't you? I just want to be sold out. I want to be sold out. I want to be sold out. I want to be sold out. And I'm repenting of everything that does me good. I repent. Everything I do that's pleasurable to me, I'm repenting of it. Everything I do to use my time for some fun and folly, I'm repenting of it. I am going to use my time for the glory of God. If there's any reason I've had my family resisting me, it's because I won't give up a total abandonment to God and just be grandfather and father. No, I'm a grandfather and a father, but I'm a saint of God, and I got to live only for him. Raise your hand and say it with me. I got to live only for him. Come on, raise it high. I got to live only for him. I repent of everything for self, and I cry out of everything for God. Hallelujah. I know I'm probably preaching over time. Let me quickly move to this last point, and I want you to hear it. The great saints that live by repentance. The great saints, and this is the high end of God's people. I think of Bruce Gans, Brother Joseph. What a man for God he is. Do you know where Bruce Gans learned the life of prayer? In your parsonage, by getting up at 6 o'clock in the mornings and praying an hour or so with Brother Chambers. He'll tell you that's where I learned the power of old-fashioned praying. Hallelujah. I remember one time preaching and he fell in love with it. I said, when you say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. I said, you're not just praying for his kingdom here. You're praying for that millennial kingdom when we all shall be with him forever. Oh, Sister Forbes, I want to tell you something. That's going to be a great day. You're going to have a new body. Did you know that? You won't need no walker up there. Brother Lindsay, you won't need that walk up there. Oh, I wish that Silvio was here. You don't need no walk up there. Oh, I'm telling you, this God is a God of grace. So I'm calling this great church this morning. And I'm telling you, I believe this is a great church. I believe this is a number one church today. I believe that with all my heart. We're not great big, but we're on our way. And I believe if we can sell out, repent of everything that is part of self life, all these pleasurable things, all these things that just can, oh, I'm telling you. You say, Brother Chambers, I don't understand all that. Well, I know I'm preaching over some people's head, but I want to tell you something. When you get so caught up in Him and you get to praying and having times with God, when the Holy Ghost just comes upon you and you can pray for hours and think you just got there. Have you ever prayed for an hour or two and feel like you just got started? Ever done that? That's wonderful. Repent. Let's come to repentance this morning. What do you say? I know. I see how long. I got another hour. It's only 11:02 in Mississippi. Hallelujah. I want you to raise your hand. Would you raise your hand with me? How many of you are ready to live a life of repentance? How many of you are ready to look at yourself and don't measure yourself by nobody? Not Brother Mike Switzer, not Brother Bruce Gans, not Brother Joey Yates, not Brother Marlon Clark, not Brother Joseph Gans or Dylan Beatty, but measure your life by Him. Let's go to the book of Philippians to end this message this morning. And this is the scripture for this last point. The book of Philippians. I love this great book. Chapter 2 and verse 5. Philippians 2. And verse 5. God's word is so powerful. Philippians 2 and verse 5. Listen now. How about standing with me? Hold your Bible in your hand. And let's read this together. Would you? Everybody together. Let's read Philippians 2 and verse 5. Are you ready? Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Now, I want you to hold your Bible. Here's Jesus, the eternal Son of God. There was not a smidgen of carnality or sin upon His being. He had never spoke a word out of context or out of order. There'd never been an action of immorality or carelessness in His life. Yet Paul says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Listen, who being in the form of God. It was like Brother Marlon, he almost repented for being in the form of God. He almost said, I don't deserve this. I don't deserve to be in the form of God. I don't deserve to be the only begotten Son of God. Who being in the form of God thought it not robbery. He thought it was something he didn't deserve to be in the form of God. Ooh, you say, Brother Chambers, that kind of consecration I could never grasp. No, you can't, but the Holy Ghost can. No, you can't, but the Holy Ghost can. Here is a picture of the Son of God, and Paul the Apostle is calling us to this place of consecration, and he's telling us, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation. Do any of you preachers ever fill your oaks? Do any of your preachers ever get through preaching a really special sermon and you walk away, oh, boy, I did it tonight. I've done it. And you know what I always did the next time? Fell on my face. is anybody with me? Am I overdoing it this morning? Everybody that thinks maybe this is a little bit too hard, let me see your hand. You know it's not. who being in the form of God thought it a robbery. He just could not believe that he had the privilege of being in the form of God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him, somebody say it for me. Say it again, Brother Joseph. Say it, Brother Dylan. Say it, Brother Charles. Took upon him. Now see, that's repentance. You can't call that nothing but Christ living a life of repentance, because he was in the flesh, though the flesh had had no mastery over him. Though the flesh had not caused him to do one thing contrary, yet he felt so overwhelmed by being the Father's Son that he made himself a servant. No reputation. He never went around bragging, holding his shoulders up and looking haughty. He ever was humbled. Restill the copa. Would you close your eyes just a moment? Holy Ghost, this is a wonderful people. These are some of the dearest. I love them. I love these men that you've given us. Great men. I'm grateful. God, I'm grateful. I am unworthy. I don't deserve to be the shepherd of this beautiful congregation. I stand here or sit here and brag on nothing of me. But I humble myself. I want to be their servant. I want to be the servant of every person who listens to the radio. I want to be a servant of every person who is blessed by this ministry. I want you to want the same thing, that God will get a hold of us and break everything in us that might be called carnal, or that might be called prideful, or might be called haughty. Woo! Who, being in the form of God, made himself of no reputation, and being found in the fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wow, what a message that Paul gave us. Now, will you hold your Bible to your heart, if you don't mind? I'll do the same. God, this preacher comes here this morning to preach this sermon on repentance, and I declare myself to be a man of repentance. God, forgive me. Forgive me of every time that I've used any of me for me, or for things that benefit me, but turn my heart so utterly to you. That don't mean you can't be successful on your job. It don't mean you can't be successful in the way you carry out the affairs of your life. It don't mean you can't have a good reputation where you work. You'll have a better reputation where you work, because everybody will see you as a servant of Christ. How many of you want to be a servant of Christ wholly and completely? Raise your hand high. Hallelujah. Will you, with your hand high and your Bible to your heart, meet me at the altar. And let's give ourselves to him. I give myself before you to him. I confess to you I am nothing. I confess to you this preacher hungers for the baptism of the Holy Ghost that so possesses me that wherever I go, the Holy Ghost is mightily at work. I want a whole casicolo, bro. Somebody help me. Raise your hand and let the Holy Ghost baptize you all over again fresh this morning. I'm believing God to fill mama with the Holy Ghost afresh right while I'm preaching this morning. I said, honey, I want you to let God have his way in you this morning. Give yourself afresh to the mighty work of the Holy Ghost. Let God's Holy Ghost do something in you deeper and greater than ever. That's what I want for every one of you. Lead us in prayer, brethren. Let me get a mic to somebody here. Hallelujah. Brother Dylan, how about leading us in prayer?
The Holy Ghost is so near.
And just say, hallelujah. Let me see somebody who always just says, hallelujah. Let me see those who got a real hallelujah. Raise your hand.